Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Jim Cobray.
Hi, you guys. Good to be with you again. We're going to do part two of, if you will, right thinking or better thinking brings a better life. Right thinking brings a right life. And I know it's exciting, but what God says to us is so important. Now, let me just take a moment to, if you will, just encourage you to get together, turn everything off, get your bathroom out of the way before you start a teaching so you're not running there. Don't make popcorn. Who gets popcorn? You don't get popcorn in church. Wait a minute, that's not true, because I have been in a church that did pass out popcorn one time. Insane. But here's the deal. This is not about popcorn. This is about not you getting up going to the refrigerator. This is about you getting the word of the Lord. This is about you having your children see how important the word of God is. This is about you being what God's called you to be, doing what God's called you to do. And God's called us Christians in the midst of problems and trials and pressures of life to stand up and be a Christian. He's never asked us, said, well, you know, be a Christian when things are easy and be a Christian when things are good. You know, he makes sure that we realize there's some persecution coming for our faith. Now, I don't know, it hasn't really come yet. I know there's some pressures in our economy right now, pressures with the health scene, and America is under a lot of pressure. They're shutting things down and social, whatever it's called, distancing and between each other. All that's taking place. But I'm here to tell you something. No matter what they put on us, we have a responsibility of being born of the Spirit of God to live our lives a certain way. And I found that I can live my life any way I want. That's the free will God gives me. I can be negative, down, out, discouraged, frustrated, or I could be up and strong and healthy and vivacious and full of hope. You know, I may not see things today, but I'm full of hope. Even as an older man, I'm full of hope. I still think I know my best years are ahead of me, because there's going to come a day sooner than probably most of you that I get to go be with Jesus. So I know my best days, but I'm full of hope for tomorrow. Why? Not because the economy tells me or my bank account says it's okay, or I go to the grocery stores and there's lots of food, or, hey, there's new movie out on Netflix and that's a good movie I can look forward to tonight. I'm full of hope because I get to do something like that. I'm full of hope, and you should be too, because you have Jesus Christ on the inside of you. And you just simply turn the page in the face of negative problems, trials and pressures, and evil temptation. What do I mean by turn the page? I'm no longer going to think about that. I'm no longer going to digest that. I'm no longer going to let that in my life. I will know it. I hear what you say, but the answer to every problem is Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says that all things are possible to him that believes. Doesn't say that because it's not true. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Can you imagine? I can't do anything by myself, but God can strengthen me to do this. I can work at trying not to be negative or down or depressed or discouraged or frustrated. You know, I can work at that in my own power. It only gets so far, like we said last time. But when God strengthens me, I can do all things. I can't do everything, but I can do all things when God strengthens me. And you know, when God strengthens us, in 2 Corinthians, he makes it very clear. When you're weak, he strengthens you when you call upon him. And so a lot of times we don't call upon him. We don't make him part of our life. We digest the stuff of the world as the world vomits out their theologies and their thinking and their science that's supposedly contrary to the ways of God. I'm just here to tell you something, that it's just not the way it is. I want you to know that God's the way, the truth, and the life. And that's the way you and I ought to be thinking. Remember last time we were together, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You can change your whole family's destiny by just getting them, when there's problems coming at them, trials and pressures and insecurities of every kind coming at you, whether you learn how to deal with these thoughts, that you deal those thoughts. And remember how we found out that you cast them down? Even when they're as real as one on the right side, 1,000 people right at your right side and 10,000 at your right hand that are failing, you're in the midst of all of this chaos, is what he's trying to say. You can still know that God is on your side. He's going to take care of you. He'll provide for you. He'll protect you. As long as you are staying in him. When you don't stay in him and you get out into their situation, man, you're out of the protection of God and you're going to get zonked. So you need to stay in with God. You need to make those statements. When a thought comes in that's going to drive me to insecurity and frustration, and it's going to drive me, if you will, to a place where I'm, have great anxiety, not sleeping at night, worrying about, how about this one? Calculating what you're going to do if this happens and you don't get this, you know. So you've been calculating how to strategize for the future. Stop it. Calculate what God says and just trust God and go with the flow with God. He will take care of you. That's what we said, that we have to cast down. Remember the word of God out of 2 Corinthians, that we cast down imaginations that exalt themselves against the things that God says. And then he says, bring into captivity every thought. Bring what? Captivity, every thought. Don't let your thoughts go wild and do whatever they want to do, poisoning your day, poisoning your life, poisoning your attitude. But listen to this. Let your thoughts be that which makes it beautiful, the things of God, the hope that you need to have. Why? Because all things are possible to him that believes. Who and who? God. Not just believes in yourself or believes that there's an outcome that's coming that's fine, but you believe in God. Whether they find an outcome or don't find an outcome, you believe in God. That's not the issue. The issue is God. That's the powerful thing about this. So we found out that we're in a war. God makes provisions for us in a war. It was like stunning to me as a Christian. I thought, you know, everything is good when you become a Christian and everything is sweet and kind. Jesus was wonderful. You got Jesus on your side. He's just going to take care of me at every turn of the road. And isn't it great? And isn't it marvelous? But I found out something. All through the New Testament, God prepares us for battle. Can you imagine? In other words, when you're a Christian, you're going to have to fight for what you want. You want something in your family. You want health in your family. You're going to have to fight. How do I know that? Bible says in Galatians 7 chapter, listen to this, what you sow, you will reap. In Galatians, the word of God makes, what you sow, you shall reap. If you're sowing negative garbage, your mind is going to be poisoned, your heart's going to be poisoned, won't be long before you're living in anxiety. Or if you're sowing the word of God, what God says, won't be very long before you're living in the prosperity of God. You know what that is? Man, you talk about total peace. The storm Jesus has just spoken to, and he said, be still. And that storm, bang, that natural storm was overcome. Come by the spiritual. And that's what you're doing. You're applying spiritual principles to your life every day as the garbage of the world just wants to dump on you. You're in a battle for your future, your family, your children, your battle for your home, your finances, dreams, the vision that God has given you. You're in a battle. And by the way, without the battle, you'll never take the spoils. And so I'm here to tell you something, my friends. Get ready for it. So in order to understand this a little deeper, God gives us his armor. It's the armor of God. A lot of people don't even know about it. Some of you do. You need to remember these. So let's go to Ephesians, if you will, in the 6th chapter of Ephesians, and let's take a look at it, if you will, and get your Bible out. I'm going to turn to it right now in Ephesians, the 6th chapter. And let's take a look at it together. I think you'll find it fascinating as we talk about Ephesians, the 6th chapter. And he starts off in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verse number 10. And I love this. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong. He doesn't say be strong in yourself. He says, be strong in the Lord. I love that. Be strong, not in myself. I can't be strong, but I can be strong in God. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. What did he just say? Listen, the world has what it has to say. It's going to do what it needs to do. It's going to vomit on you at every turn of the road. But you are going to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I want you to know the power of his might is when you apply the word of God to the situation that you're in. Let me say it again because it's worth stopping and thinking about. When you apply the word of God to the situation you're in, I remember being broke. We get a half. Can you believe this? Who gets bills like this? We have any money. We're building this church and we would get a $500,000 invoice for us to pay $500,000. And Debbie and I look at each other and I'd start laughing. Because I knew I didn't have half. I mean, you gotta be kidding me. And the church didn't have $500,000. I was giving the church the money to pay me as little salary as it was because the church didn't ever have anything. And I'm here to tell you something. We just start laughing, look at each other. We just went to sleep that night. I don't know how it happened. I honestly don't know how it happened, but we got through it. And when we paid for these chairs, which is the last thing we had to pay for, God brought the money in and the building was complete. Millions and millions and millions and millions. And I'm talking about 15 years ago, it cost us $25 million as where did that money come from? I don't know, but I'm here to tell you something. Listen closely. It came and I needed to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Every time we had a problem, I put the word of God. But God meets our needs according to his rich glory by Christ Jesus. He'll open up doors that no man can open, close doors no man can close. I mean, I knew enough of the word, and you need to also, to be able to apply the principle, which is taking the word of God into the situation of your life. Let's go on in the word of God, verse number 11. Put on the whole armor of God. Notice what it says. It says whole armor of God. Didn't say put on partial armor, didn't put on a little armor. You know, if you put on a little armor, you'll have a little protection. There's no doubt about that. I've already tested it. That's the way it works. But if you put all the armor on, you're going to be walking man in a blessing that you can't even begin to imagine. Whole armor of God, he says in verse number 11, of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now he makes it very clear that your battle is demonic. And the wiles means this, you ought to circle that in your Bible and just put in the craziness or the word stupid of the devil, that he's going to throw everything at you to try to get you off of being a Christian and get you back into the world system of worrying, being frustrated in the things of God. Very, very important. Let's go to verse number, if you will, in verse number 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Have we not heard that? We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. My goodness sakes alive. How many times people are always trying to solve their problems by some physical answer? Let me tell you something. God's bigger than any physical answer there could possibly ever be. He's the spiritual answer to everything that supersedes the natural that you're looking for. So if you keep looking in the natural, you're never going to get it from God. Start looking in the spirit and watch God bring you the natural. It's so important for you to understand that principle. So he makes it very clear. He says this in that same verse. He says this, we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against principalities, verse number 12. Look at this. Against principalities and powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts and wickedness in heavenly places. I don't want to concentrate too much on that. Here's what he just said in that verse. He said that you have a spiritual battle you're going to have to overcome. They're planning. They have ranks. They have understanding. They've watched mankind since the inception of man when God breathed into a pile of dirt and brought him alive. I'm here to tell you something. He knows everything about you. They hate your guts and they'll do anything they can. They'll destroy anything to destroy you from being before God and being all that God would have you to be. So let's move on. And he makes this clear statement to us in verse number 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor. Two times now in like three verses, four verses, he says, the whole armor of God. You're going to have to do this. God's not going to put the armor on you. I can't put the armor. I can only give it to you. You have to put it on every day. You ought to strap it on, put it on, say, I'm ready for whatever the world has to throw at me. I need to get in there and do something about putting the armor of God on. And it says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day. I love this, that you may be able to stand in the evil day. Did you notice how he didn't say evil month? Evil year or the rest of your life. It's just like a day. You're going to have pressure for the day. Deal with the devil today. Tomorrow you can deal with him again. But it's one day at a time is your battle. That's what God's talking about right here. It's not a big deal if you understand it. It's just today I'm getting through today, and I'm getting through today powerfully in things of God. I'm not letting the ways of the world tell me what to do. I'm going to apply the word of God on every situation, and I'm going to be joyful because I know the outcome. God's going to do something great. And he makes this statement. He goes on, and I just love it as it goes on in verse number 30. He says, every evil day, and having done all to stand, and then verse 14, stand. In other words, just keep standing. Keep doing what you're supposed to be doing. Hang in there. Someone asked me, what are we going to do? I said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to keep on keeping on. That's what stand means. I'm not giving up. I'm not backing off. I'm not thinking of some plan B, plan C, plan D. Man, that really bugs me. What do you think we should do? Well, it doesn't matter what we should do. Let's figure out what God's going to do. He's going to do something greater than we could ever do anyway. So we find ourselves in a place of realizing that this is a stand. We've got to keep on standing. Verse 14. In verse number 14, and I love these verses because it says, stand therefore having girded yourself up with truth. In other words, I'm going to take the word of God. I'm going to take truth. The word gird means to wrap around myself. Did you know that that is simply means this? To gird yourself up means it's like a girdle that you put it on. And he's describing taking the word of God, that everywhere you go, the word of God goes. If you can picture my belt right now, it's underneath this shirt. But guess what? Everywhere I go, as I turn, it turns. Everywhere I go. And that's what he's talking about. First armor of God is that you're going to have to gird yourself up with truth of God. Man, that means you've got to spend some time with God to get it, because it's not going to drop in on some osmosis. Number two, let's take a look at it once again. If you will, verse number 14, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Number two is that you're going to put on the breastplate of, you're covering your heart with the things that are of God, not allowing the things that are evil, that which is contrary to God, to come into your heart. It's a breastplate. It covers the heart area, the section of your life. So I'm girded about with truth, the word of God. I'm protecting myself with a breastplate, my heart, from things that are evil that want to come in into my heart. And verse 15 says, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Man, there's a gospel of peace that, you know, first of all, peace comes. You were never designed to have peace in this world outside of God. From the moment that Adam and Eve failed in the garden, partaking of the tree of knowledge of good and of evil, the worst thing they lost was they lost the ability to have peace. Without God, there is no peace. So everywhere I go, I'm going to carry peace. I'm going to carry peace every morning, every afternoon, every evening, because guess what? My feet are shod with it. And as I walk, I carry the peace of God with me. So powerful, so exciting, so alive, and so real. And so as this works, let's go back to verse number 14 and take a look at it again. I'm sorry, verse number 15, and the preparation of the gospel peace. Verse number 16, above all, taking the shield of faith. Did you notice how a shield? Faith is something that helps you to protect you so that you don't get, and notice what it says, the shield of faith, which quenches fiery darts. You know, have you ever had a thought that you went, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? How, this is, oh, this is failing. Oh, listen to what the Well, listen to what the governor's doing. Listen to, if you will, about what the people are doing. Look at these rows. How could they all be wrong? There's no toilet paper in the store. There's not one piece of food for this. And oh my goodness. And all of this, when these little darts start to hit you, they hit you and they're there to design to take and bring evil into your thinking so that as a man thinks, so is he, that you now start to lose faith in God and start to put your trust in what you see instead of in the things of the Lord. So a quenched dart is one that's held up because I've got my faith on God. I'm holding up my armor. I've got my head on you'll see that in a moment, with salvation. I've got my shoes. I've got truth girded about my waist. I've got my heart protected. And now I got faith in the God that is a God of the supernatural. He can do great, mighty, and marvelous things. And that's what faith does. It stops everything that wants to come at you and quenches all of those darts from you. Verse number 7, and take the helmet of salvation. I know I'm saved. I know I belong to God. The helmet, notice it covers the brain, the mind, the thinking area. He says, I know who I am. I'm a Christian. I'm a born-again believer. I'm one who's filled with the Holy Ghost. I've got salvation inside of me. And listen, when you try to come against me, you're coming against God. Let me tell you how it is. You're coming against God. And I want you to know something. I'm saved and I belong to Him, and He lives in me and I live in Him. And I'm here to tell you something. That's good news. And I have that in my mind on a constant basis. Because why? It's the armor of God that He wants us to walk in. And I'm just doing these kind of fast as a refresher, but it's so good for us. So we've got that helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I'm using the sword. I'm cutting both ways. I'm using it against every negative, diabolical thought that's coming at me. I'm tearing it down by using the Word of God. I'm not using my own thinking, my own strategies. I'm not using my aunt's money. I'm not using the credit card. I'm using God to defend myself and to be offensive in every area of demonic activities. And then He comes along and He says, verse number 18, pray. Just keep on praying. Just pray, believe God, make your petitions known. Did you know prayer doesn't activate God as much as prayer activates you? That's what a lot of people don't understand. When you pray, you get built up. You get stronger. God doesn't need to hear your prayers. He knows what the problem is. He's out there before you. You need to hear what the problem is. You need to get your faith active in the things of God. And people that pray get God's attention, yes, but they also get their own attention towards God. Today, I want you to hear what I have to say to you. Today, all the things of this world, they're going to pass away. They're going to be over with. And there will be a new battle. And there'll be a new time. Never stop using the armor of God. Because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Let's be believing God for great and mighty and marvelous things.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.